Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, hear these words of our Lord Jesus in the parable from Matthew chapter 25. His master said, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." God's word, you may be seated. Now I believe that in our hearts of hearts, everyone relishes the opportunity for adventure in life. Now I will take for granted that some people are more adventurous than others. I myself am a thinker and an analyzer, and it's not always easy for me to take the leap. But there's something repulsive about coming to the end of my life and having people describe me at my funeral as someone who was safe, who sat still when there was opportunity to move, who stood on the sidelines when the game was begging to be played. I trust that the same is true for you. There's a reason that our passions are roused when we hear the story, for example, of William Wallace, aka Braveheart, or even as we hear the story of our forefathers who fought for independence for our nation. Forget safe. We want to be free. Adventure. It speaks to us. Now, granted, in this room, I'm talking to people at varying stages of life. So some of you may be 3, 4 years old. Some of you might be getting into your 70s, 80s, perhaps even 90s. And so for you, adventure might look a little bit different than it does for someone else in the room. But to all of us, Jesus speaks through his word, calling us not to sit on our hands. He calls us to adventure, just as he did the first disciples. Come, follow me. He calls us into the kind of life where, in the end, his words to us will be, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And our words back to him will probably go something like this: "Whoa, that was fun." This is the kind of life that Jesus describes for us in the parable that he speaks in Matthew 25, verses 14 and following. Jesus is spending time teaching his disciples about the end, his return, and the fulfillment of all things. In light of the fact that he has come, in light of the fact that he is going to the cross for his disciples and us to win forgiveness, freedom, eternal life, and a place in his coming kingdom, how are we meant to live and conduct ourselves with the time and the stuff at our disposal? Our king gives us an answer in the form of a story. A master is about to set off on a journey, and he calls three of his servants to him and entrusts his stuff to them while he is gone. To one, he entrusts 5 talents. To another, 2. And to another, 1. Now, these are not small amounts of money. A talent back in the first century is a weight of measure that you used to measure money. It weighs about 75 pounds. So if you're talking a talent of silver, that would be 7,000 days' wages. If you're talking a talent of gold, it would be even much more than that. Let's run with the gold standard for a moment. If gold today is selling for somewhere around $1,277 an ounce, 75 pounds, 1 talent, would be worth about $1.34 million. So take that and make 1 or 2 or 5 talents. We're talking about large sums of money that this master is entrusting to his servants. Obviously, he's placing trust in them. Otherwise, he wouldn't allow his stuff to be managed by them to this degree. 2 of the servants see the trust that their master has placed into them, and they immediately go to work. they leap into action. In the course of time, they double the money entrusted to them. You might imagine their daily routines. They're invested. They're thinking. They're planning. They're moving and shaking because of the large sums entrusted to them. They recognize that they've been called to something special. And they want to reward the trust that they've been given. On the other hand, we have a third servant, one whom the master trusts enough to handle, in our modern day telling, perhaps over $1 million of his money. But this servant doesn't respond like the other two. There's no eagerness. There's no excitement. There's no sense of adventure. Instead, the servant responds in fear and laziness, digging a hole and burying the money in the ground. He's afraid because he misses the fact that the master's investment with him is a statement of his trust in him. And he's lazy. He's unwilling to expend even the minimum effort to bring benefit. He could have simply put that money on deposit with the bankers and it would have received interest and brought some benefit to his master, but he's not even willing to go that far. In contrast to the other two, this servant's daily life would have been quite different. There's no activity in regard to the investment. That investment occupies much less space in his mind. There's no thinking. There's no planning. Perhaps there's a twinge of fear. Fear of what the master's going to do with him because he's doing nothing with his investment. Fear of perhaps someone coming across his hole in the ground and stealing away the money so that it's gone forever. There's distraction. There's stress with none of the adventure, none of the innovation that the master intends. Now, when we come to understand the Bible's teaching that God is the maker and owner of all things, including our very lives, and that we've been called to be managers of that which God has entrusted to us, the meaning of this parable should immediately pop off the page. Couple with that the fact that Jesus has said, "I am coming soon," and we know he is, or in a moment's notice, we could be taken from this life to be brought into his presence, and suddenly the meaning of the parable is invested with additional energy, additional excitement. Now, in this parable, some servants were given a charge of more than others. Well, guess what? You and I live in the 21st century in the United States of America, which means that in the course of history, or even in the present day population of the world, we have been entrusted with perhaps far more than others could have ever dreamed. You think about our comparative wealth, our technology, our opportunities, our education. We have been trusted with much, people. We are 5-talent managers in God's economy. And such a reminder is not intended to guilt us. It's meant to open our eyes. Open our eyes to the possibilities, to the adventure of managing so much of God's stuff for so much good. Imagine what could happen around here and in our communities if God were to open our eyes to the good that he could accomplish through what he has placed in our hands and in our bank accounts. People fed and clothed and housed. People given the truth of a Savior that sets them free. Little children all the way up through aging adults, discipled and nurtured and encouraged in the faith. People given hope. The possibilities are endless. And yet, so often we miss out on the adventure that is life following Jesus and leveraging God's stuff for good. I think sometimes our life as the children of God can feel a little bit dry, a little bit tedious, a little bit boring, precisely because of the fact that so often we live like the third servant. We're burying God's treasure in the ground, or we forget that it's God's in the first place and we consume it all for ourselves. We live in fear that there won't be enough because perhaps at some level we have begun to trust in the stuff to provide for us the security that, in truth, the one who has provided the stuff provides. We haven't placed our trust in the master, in the king. We've placed our trust in the stuff. And so our lives are often governed by fear. We miss opportunities to enter into the adventure as we play it safe, not realizing that in the scope of eternity, playing it safe isn't safe at all. Instead, it's a recipe for loss. The third servant, afraid and distracted and lazy, wasted his opportunity to be part of something great. I've been there. Perhaps you have too. If so, God's word to you today is don't despair. Don't despair. Your story is not over. In fact, this is exactly the reason that Jesus came, to redeem lost people with lives full of lost opportunities. The Bible speaks of God making a beautiful, perfect world, entrusting it to us people. When we rebelled, when we sinned, we messed it all up. And yet, the Son of God comes to our messed up world and enters into our flesh to make all things new again. The Bible teaches that God made us to experience perfect, secure, and life-giving relationships with Him and with one another. We messed those things up a long time ago too. But Jesus has come as God's message bearer, and through Jesus, through His life, through His death, through His resurrection for us, God proclaims that all has been made right again between us and Him. St. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 5 that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ Jesus, not counting people's sins against them. You might say to yourself today, man, I've blown so many opportunities, and God comes and says, I forgive you. All is well. As we take this meal, we hear, I forgive you. All is well. And such forgiveness has the power to reach into our lives and to inspire and to heal what is broken, not only between us and God, but between us and one another as well. The Bible teaches that we were created for a life of adventure, to live and to reign with Christ on the earth, to care for one another as people who reflect God's love and care for all that He has made. When we rebelled, we chose death for ourselves and for the rest of the creation. But now there's hope. Hope in the one who took on the enemy of death at the cross and drained it of its power. Hope that we too will experience His resurrection life and victory over death because we belong to Him. Friends, that's why we call Jesus the Redeemer. He's the one who redeems lost people. He is the one who redeems lost opportunities. He has forgiven us and our egregious mismanagement of God's gifts. He has given us in exchange His perfect stewardship of life and God's good gifts. And He calls us back into a life of adventure, a life of living by faith in Him and having our eyes opened to the amazing opportunities before us. Opportunities to put God's stuff to work for His glory and for amazing good, with the promise that what is done in His name does not go unnoticed. Well done, good and faithful slave. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come now and share in the joy of your master. It's the word that God is intending to speak over you and over your life. And it's true because you belong to Jesus. It's true because you live under His grace. May the Spirit of God keep this truth before us, front and center, and embolden us through it to embrace the adventure of putting into action God's resources for amazing, eternal good. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always. In Christ Jesus, our Master and our King. Amen.